Megillas Esther Perek Aleph Pasuk Yud Tes. Memuchan is speaking before anybody else did, because they're all too scared to give the king any advice that he might rebel against later or regret. So he says, Imal HaMelech Tov, you don't get anywhere if you're not bold in your political move when you have the chance to make it. If you come for the king, you best not miss, as they said in The Wire. Imal HaMelech Tov, Yetzei Dvar Malchus Milfanav, and Haman is going to miss later. If it pleases the king, so now he's kissing. If it pleases the king, let there go forth a royal edict from in front of him. So in front of him, making it sound almost like the king himself has something to do with it. It's us who are going to send it out. You got to read Haman's words, Memuchan's words, very carefully. The Yosef Lekach Perush on Megillas Esther says that this actually was an attempt to make Ahasuerus into a dictator. Get rid of the requirement that a king has to go to learned men for advice before an important decision, which we did a couple of psukim ago. So now the king doesn't need to talk about his judgment with others. And the Me'am Lois says that Hashem says that when Hashem put forth this current event here, that the new law which gave sweeping powers to the king would be written into the law books. And that's going to make it easy eventually for Haman to be executed without a trial, without anything else. The king just say, Teluhu Olav, hang him. Independent judgment on Haman, no questions asked. So Haman's going to bring about his own downfall by doing this. And let it be written into the laws of Persia and Media, or Media, that it not be revoked. Now she lost the Malka even. So it's a tremendous diminution of language. She starts off as Hamalka Vashti, then she becomes Hamalka, now she's just Vashti. Because Vashti would not come, and many read this as will never again come before the king Ahasuerus, Umalchusa Yitain HaMelech, and her royal estate will be given by the king Lirosa Hatova Mimena upon another, literally on a friend or a peer. Vashti had no peer, she had royal blood, who is better than she is. So almost everybody defines this as Vashti should never again come before the king. He's never going to see her again, because Memuchan understands that she could appeal to his mercy, she could appeal to their marital affection. I was just learning a Mishnah in Ksubos, in Mishnayos Yomi. If you listen to Mishnah Yomi, we're about to start Ksubos, and maybe already have by the time you hear this. And the first Mishnah in Ksubos talks about when, or one of the Mishnayos early in Ksubos, I think it's the first one, talks about when a husband and wife should get married. And for a Isha Basula, for a never-before-married woman, it says they should get married on Wednesday. Why on Wednesday? Because that's the day. Ateres Mataleya is cheap. No, they should get married on Wednesday, because if he discovers that she's not a virgin bride, that she had been unfaithful during the Erusin, that he'll go right away the next morning to have it out in front of the judges, to judge the fact that she was not faithful and misrepresented herself as coming, shall we say, innocent or untouched into the marriage. And the Gemara explains about that, that it should be Wednesday because Thursday morning is best, and Monday and Thursday. If you give him the weekend to think about it, they get married Thursday night, by Monday he will have either been sweet-talked or he himself will regret doing anything. And she's forbidden to him now. She's been unfaithful. But he's not going to want emotionally to go through that or even to put her through that. Memuchan understands that. I don't see the Mefarshim making this connection, but it seems to me that Memuchan is saying, do it immediately and don't let her come in front of you. Don't let her come and beg for her life. Don't have any mercy. Rashi says it's past tense because she didn't come at the time. But let it be somebody else who's better than she is. Memuchan is saying, Me'am Lois says that her second wife is going to be more obedient because when she sees what happened to Vashti, she'll never act out. Which is, of course, partly what Elizabeth Cady Stanton and the feminists say, is that Esther is much more passive and she doesn't do these things. But what we're going to learn, of course, is the tremendous value in Esther's strategy, which is much softer and smarter in many ways than openly trying to make it into a power struggle. So let the king do it this way. And furthermore, Pasachav, V'nishma piskam ha-melech asher ya'aseh b'chol malchuso. The king's decree, which he will proclaim, will resound throughout his entire empire. Ki rabahi, because of course it is great. It is huge. So by the time everybody hears about this, v'chol ha-noshim yitnu yikar l'va aleihen. All of the wives will show respect to their husbands. L'mi gadol v'yad katan. From great to humble in terms of status across the kingdom. So let the wives show respect to their husbands by law, because we're going to make it a law. Even though the Gra says his demand was outrageous and humiliating for what his queen should do, we're going to gloss that over and we're going to make it seem like he had a reasonable request and she refused. He wanted her to parade herself around unclothed in front of the drunken public. How humiliating can a husband be to his wife? And yet, what you wanted was so reasonable. And upper and lower classes alike are going to then understand that the husband's word is law. Now, this is a huge step to take. And next time, as we finish the parak, we're going to hear what Rav Soloveitchik has to say about it, which is glorious, glorious, based on the Gemara in Megillah and based on what Rashi tells us about what impact this will have on the Jewish people later on when we face our own danger from Haman.